second song.
Blog Talk Radio.
This is All About Wine, the talk show dedicated to the wine industry since 2009, featuring winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is just trying to educate people and trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly.
From coast to coast and around the world.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that.
Post your questions and comments during the live show on our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/allaboutwineBTR. Again, that's www.facebook.com/allaboutwineBTR. And now, All About Wine is over. Here's Ron.
Okay. Thank you, bus people. Thank you, bus people. The guy's still whistling, but he toned it down. I think you had a talk with him a few weeks ago there. And
oh, yeah, I had to.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
It's just a little bit too much. And
he had way too many. That was my fault.
Yeah.
It
was just a little bit obnoxious. And so, yeah, I'm glad you talked to him. Welcome to All About Wine. This is December the 21st, 2023, at 7:01 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the shortest day of the year, first day of winter. And I think the actual exact time is like 10:20-something, 10, I don't know for sure, but it's officially not winter yet. It's still fall until 10 o'clock or so, until between 10 and 11 sometime there. So we are still in autumn, but shortest day of the year, and our days will start getting longer. What's amazing is the days start getting longer fast. I mean, within a week, it'll be brighter. 20 minutes later, it's just whoom, it's there. So I like that, though. I'm not complaining. Like the longer days. I wish they would adopt year-round daylight saving time for Florida, but probably never see it. They always talk about it every year, but it never happens. So, who knows? So, first bit of business here is we're going to talk about Flightline Radio, Mike's radio program, flightlineradio.com. It is streaming 24/7, and it has a variety of music on there. You can, I do this. I take Flightline Radio, pull it up, I put it on my headphones, and as I'm doing stuff on the computer, I play it softly in the background, and which is actually distracting because it, you know, we play so many good songs that I'll stop reading or doing whatever I'm doing and sit there and listen to the song or sing along or something. And then I go back to what I'm doing. And sometimes I forget where I am and all that. Huh. But I don't take the headphones off. I just keep listening. So it's my fault, not Mike's. But it's flightlineradio.com. It is, like I say, 24/7 streaming. If you are a wannabe DJ, he is looking for some. You got to have a catalog of music that you can play, but he's looking for people that will do it. You get you get the same amount of pay as Mike does, which happens to be zero. he's on live every Saturday morning from 10 to noon, so you can tune in, listen to him, request songs and stuff like that. But then that's the only time he's on live. Then at noon on Saturdays, you get a repeat of this show. And also on Wednesdays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time, he plays the 1st and 15th, which is Cap Kaplowitz, who was one of our guests last week, along with Phil, who was another guest, and they just sit and talk about nothing. and it's hilarious and it's fun. And if you're looking for a smile on your face or an out-and-out laugh, then it is worth your listen. On Thursday, or Wednesday mornings at 7 and Wednesday evenings at 7, that is Eastern time. So,
yeah.
Flatline Radio. Good show. You do a good job of that. Okay. let's see. What else do I want to bring up? Before I forget it, happy holidays to everyone. Merry Christmas. Happy Festivus. Happy Hanukkah, which is just passed, actually. Happy Kwanzaa. And I read another one, which I can't remember what it is. I've got it here. I'll run across it when we talk tonight. So all those holidays seem to hit right here in December. So whatever you celebrate and however you celebrate, be safe and be responsible on your alcohol consumption. Don't drive. We want you to come back and be guests with us, or be listeners with us. So don't drink and drive. All right. Going on. Calendars. I've been giving you calendars off and on all year, what's coming up and all that. Excuse me. Today, winter solstice is the longest night of the year. Shortest day, but longest night. Tomorrow, National Short Person Day. I don't know what that involves, but National Short Person Day. National Roots Day is Saturday. So dig out your roots, find out what they are, and have yourself some wine to celebrate it. Sunday, Last Minute Shoppers Day, which a lot of you out there are doing that. Monday, Christmas Day, and there's all sorts of wines you can have with Christmas, and sparkling wines. I will be talking about those shortly. Here's one. Junkanoo, 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 Junkanoo. That's for the Pan-Caribbean celebration that takes the form of colorful parades, showcases a range of West Indian cuisines. I have never heard of that. Junkanoo, or Junkanoo? No, it has to be new, two O's. Junkanoo. So, Mike, if you want to dig back in your brain there and see if you can remember anything you can tell us about that, that would be appreciated. Wednesday, Visit the Zoo Day. And next Thursday, Pledge of Allegiance Day. I used to do that in school all the time. We all did, I think, if you're older. I don't think I've actually said the Pledge of Allegiance in a long, long time. Friday, International Cello Day. And Saturday, Failing Needles Family Fest Day. Failing Needles. Oh, that's Falling Needles Family Fest Day. Falling Needles Off Your Tree. And then next Sunday, New Year's Eve. And we start a new year there. So that ends up this year, this year's calendars, events and stuff. So did you recall anything about Junkanoo?
Basically, I kind of remember it's about African slavery in British American colonies.
Really?
That's one of it. Yep. It is practiced mostly in Jamaica, the Bahamas, and Belize, and also historically in North Carolina and Miami, where there were significant settlements of West Indian people during the post-emancipation era. And there are now today, in present day, there are considerable variations in performance and spelling, but there are the shared elements of masquerade or masking, drumming, dance, and parading. There is, in many territories, this I don't know how to pronounce it either. It looks like Junkanoo or Junkanoo.
Junkanoo.
It's observed around Boxing Day. Yeah. Boxing Day, which is the 26th of December, New Year's Day, obviously the 1st of January, and Easter holidays in some countries. And that's strictly going by memory. I
know,
you're
good. That's why I asked for you to try bring that up. Yeah, very good. I never heard of that before. Wow, and we live here in Florida with Miami just down the street, and we never heard of that. Well, Junkanoo. Anyone celebrating Junkanoo, then happy Junkanoo, I guess. Merry Junkanoo. I don't know what the proper salutation would be on that. That's good. So that's what Junkanoo is. We all learned something tonight. Junkanoo. So, all right. We are going to cover different topics tonight and different things here. First, some information, some news that I want to share with you here. Let's see, not that one. I found a great article on the science behind reductive aromas in wine. A long article, and I'm about three-fourths of the way through it, but once I finish that, I'll try to share some of that with you. And let's see, what is this one? U.S. ramps up wine exports. I thought that was interesting. We're trying to take over some market that other countries are basically doing. You walk down any street in the big cities, Paris, London, Tokyo, Rome, and you'll see influence of American culture. But you walk into a wine shop and not so much. The wine isn't being spread around the world like we get different ones here, different wine from all over. But you don't see American wines in too many places. And so the U.S. is trying to do that. They're trying to step up the export and trying to get the numbers up. And there's the California Wine Board is working on that, as is the Oregon and Washington Wine Boards. It says that California is number one, but a lot of states are trying to increase their sales to export. Oregon exports quite a bit. Canada accounts for 45% of the export sales, followed by the United Kingdom, where it has grown by 54% over the past 7 years. So we're getting the wines, the United States is getting wines in other regions, but it's still slow. And so they decided to start stepping up. And they're looking at places that normally you don't think about wine. They're trying to get in places like Bangkok and South Korea and Czech Republic. A lot of these you don't consider hotbeds for wine, but because of that, the United States is trying to get their presence known in that. So when you go to these different places now, you're going to start seeing more and more can wine. Annual production of a lot of these, our annual sales, a lot of these places have been low. And so all these wine boards around the country decided that they would see if they can't increase the sales. And they are doing so, which is interesting. So if you go on overseas, you may see more and more of American wine in the stores than previous. The state of sparkling wine. We're going to talk about sparkling wines in a little bit here. Sparkling wine across all categories has been one of the major winners of the post-pandemic drinking culture. It's estimated to be a $36.7 billion industry in 2022. Sparkling wine consumption grew by double-digit percentages between 20 and 21, and then again between 21 and 22. So sparkling wine is really taking off. People are starting to drink it often and not just for occasions or something like that, which is good. I promote sparkling wines a lot. I tell you, you need to drink it. Right now, 2022, $36.7 billion in the wine market, projected by 2028, which is only 6 years down the road, that's supposed to go up to $55.4 billion. The U.S. sparkling wine market is projected to grow by more than 15% from 2021 to 2026. The number of Americans drinking sparkling wine rose by 30% from 2019 to 2022. That's through the pandemic, too, which is might have a little bit on that. Top sparkling wines in the U.S., Prosecco, followed by Champagne and Cava. And we will be talking about those three shortly here. Sales and the number of bottles in 2022. Prosecco, 638.5 million bottles. Champagne comes in second at 325.5 million. A big difference. Prosecco obviously is running away with it. And German Sekt, S-E-K-T, is at 284.6 million bottles. Number four, Cava, 249.1. Five, Franciacorta, 20.2. Six, California Sparkling, 13.8. Seven, Cap Classique at 9 million. And then eight, English Sparkling Wine at 5.52 million bottles. It's something that is taking off, and they say that the pandemic probably helped that a little bit. People are discovering sparkling wines. I'm a fan. In fact, we're going to be talking about sparkling wines here shortly. And let's see what else. Speaking of sparkling wines, Riddling. Do you know what Riddling is? Most people don't. Okay. Riddling, when you sparkling wines, let me read what this says. It's a short article. As if choreographed, Jesus Calderon periodically rotates bottles of sparkling wine a quarter of a turn while simultaneously tilting them until they're upside down. This dance is one Calderon has done for 15 years at Napa Valley Scrambsburg Vineyards, and the labor-intensive process is called riddling, or remage in French. Okay, now, the bottles all set in these racks that are tilted sideways. You may have seen pictures of the racks and racks of champagne bottles that are sitting in boards that have the champagne turned sideways. As these ferment in the bottle, the sediment starts going into the bottom of the bottle, which is the side. It's not the bottom, which is the side. The sediment starts going on the side of the bottle. So they have to be turned so that sediment doesn't stay there. And it could stain the bottle too, which is unappealing. But you have to turn these bottles a quarter of a turn. Most of the time, this is done automatically. They have different things, like the whole board will turn or something like that. There's different ways they do it. And seldom do they actually do it by hand anymore. But what this Calderon does is, Jesus Calderon takes the bottle, puts his thumb in the punt, which is the indentation of the bottom of the champagne bottle, grabs the bottle, and turns it a quarter of a turn. Say from 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock. And he does this to every bottle. If there's 5,000 bottles, he has to turn every one of them. Now, it's labor intensive, but if he's been doing this for 15 years, he is probably faster than the eye. He can probably flip these things sideways and do row after row after row of them and just create a constant as he's turning them. So this is called riddling, and it's been around for ages, or like the French call it, Remuage, R-E-M-U-A-G-E. And it says the movement, which happens over roughly an 8-week span, coaxes the yeast inside of the bottle to accumulate and slide to the neck. Okay, so instead of the yeast sitting on the side of the bottle, it slowly settles in the neck, which then it's uncorked, released, and recorked. It's pretty cool when you see somebody do it. You could look it up. I'm pretty sure there's videos on the internet, YouTube or something. You can probably click in champagne riddling, and it will probably show it to you. I've never pursued it, never looked at it myself, but I'm sure it is on the internet. But pretty cool thing to do. But they have to do that to the bottles so they can discharge the yeast that is in the bottles. And the yeast is put in there so that it ferments in the bottle. And the yeast eats and devours the sugars. And one of the byproducts of that is yeast particles that impart the rich, toasty flavors during aging. So that's riddling, hand riddling. They have a little video here on this article. So check it out. It's pretty cool to watch this stuff. Once the yeast is in the neck, it's frozen, and shooting that frozen yeast plug out of the bottle is called disgorging, or in French, disgorgement. Most interesting thing about hand riddling is that the wines are different every year, requiring me, said Cauldron, to determine the best way to get the yeast to move into the neck for each bottling. The most compelling thing is that year after year, bottling after bottling, there are challenges that we'll find that are still able to hold my attention. I can't take anything for granted when I put the bottles on the riddling rack for the first time. So there you go. Interesting thing, riddling, though. They've been doing that for a long time, getting the yeast discharged and all. So check it out. Okay. And then they list some sparkling wine houses to visit. Are these all up in Napa and that area? Yeah, Napa, Sonoma, Santa Rosa, Sebastopol, Harrisburg. Yeah. So pretty cool. A lot of them up there. If you get an opportunity, a lot of them up there in that area. Like I said, everybody's got to visit Napa at least once. Do your research before you go so you can see the things you want to see, but got to visit it at least once. Okay. This I found interesting. Come on, load. Little hamsters on the wheel, and it's not loading. I haven't went through something this slow since Dollop. Okay. Felicity Carter, who is a wine journalist and co-founder of Business of Drinks, and I've quoted that magazine quite a bit, gave an impassioned presentation at the 2023 Wine Industry Impact Conference held in Adelaide, Australia, imploring wine producers to battle claims put forth by the World Health Organization last year that there is, quote, no safe limit when it comes to alcohol consumption. Huh? Yeah, they did. I think I might have said something to you about it when I first saw that. She goes on to say, people don't believe me, but this is the worst thing I have seen in 25 years of reporting about wine. The World Health Organization came out in 2022, and they declared there is no safe limit for drinking alcohol. They are pressuring the EU to change their guidelines about cancer, and they have came out, they have said, alcohol causes cancer. Every time I say this, people say, well, prohibition didn't work the first time, and I say there's a difference. Prohibition was imposed by government, and this is people choosing not to drink as they hear the health data. So, it goes on and talks about it here a little bit and what's happening on that. But she is adamant about the fact that the World Health Organization needs to shut their mouth, basically, is what the article says. There's been no concrete evidence or anything. I don't know where they got it. And it's just, well, it goes on like that. It says, because of the convulsive nature of the messaging around the around wine and its health benefits and downside. Wow, what was that? Carter noted that communicating a clear counter-argument to the WHO's declaration was extremely difficult. You know, she said, it's much easier a message to simply say, don't drink, rather than to give a more nuanced position about drinking. And so there you go. But if you hear that WHO responds, I don't know if there is any scientific evidence that wine causes cancer. And if they want to stop something, I'm afraid that that's what they do. I mean, we've heard things over the years that so many different things cause cancer. You know, your phone can cause cancer and all that. You know, it's like, well, without going onto a soapbox here, this is one of the things. If you happen to see that report, then try to look for documentation. If you want a reason to not drink, then don't use that. Just don't drink. But that seems a little far-fetched to me. Okay. And let's see. Let me look. I had something else I wanted to bring up. And okay, that's not the one. Maybe it's that one. Oh, this is the 2023 vintage in California was probably one of the best vintages ever. They're saying that it was a great bumper crop, and there are some fantastic wines that should be coming out of it. So look for the 2023 wines out of California. It should be a fantastic bumper crop and some fantastic wines. Okay. All right. Let's talk about champagnes or sparkling wines. What are the different types of sparkling wines? Well, first, let me give you some recommendations for food. And since this is the holiday season, you're going to be eating a bunch of different stuff. These are three very simple, easy things you can pair with a lot of stuff. Sparkling wine, number one, and I'll get into detail on that one moment here. I sound like news reporters or something here when I do that, don't I? It says, the earth is imploding. Details in 15 minutes. You know, you go, what? I have to wait 15 minutes to find that the earth is imploding? Or, you know, gas prices are going to increase $1 a gallon the first of the month. Details in 20 minutes. Rain chances have increased to 100% for the next 3 days. Details at the end of the hour. This is what news channels do, and it drives me absolutely bonkers. But I sound like I'm doing that now. I'm not, believe me. Sparkling wine. Pair that with just about anything you're having in your meal. You can find a sparkling wine. We'll go in more detail. Here's another one. Dry rosé. There's a lot of rosés out there, and they usually have some good levels of acidity and low levels of tannin overall. So you're not going to be attacked by tannins. And it matches up to a lot of different foods. Rosés are often frowned upon at the dinner table or during meals, but it can really serve its purpose. Well, there are some great rosés out there that pair well with a lot of foods. Don't try to go anything overpowering for the rosé, but just about anything that you're going to put on the table, you know, your turkey, it can go well with ham if you get yourself some nice rosé. So try rosés. And last one to have with your meals is a Riesling. You're going, but Rieslings are sweet. No, not always. There's some dry. Rieslings with a notable amount of residual sugar can help with spicy flavor profiles. If you're having Asian food, Indian food, things like that, Thailand food, Thai food, have yourself some Riesling. Sweetness in the Riesling can balance well with some of the spiciness of all those foods. It's surprising how well it does blend with the palate. So there's three examples for you of wines that actually we don't look at pairing often enough. Sparkling wines. It is the holiday season. And this seems to be the time when most people think about sparkling wines, but don't do that. Think about sparkling wines all the time. I'm always telling people it's a good drink with anything, anytime. So do it. Grab a sparkling wine. But when you say, well, what sparkling wine to grab? You realize there are 20 different types, probably more, but I'm going to talk to you about 20 different types of sparkling wines right now. Let's start out with one that I'm not familiar with, but this was interesting. Blanquette de Limoges. This is a French wine. According to Cellar Tours, this wine from the Languedoc region of southern France dates back to 1531, made by the local Benedictine monks. It could be the first documented wine in France, depends on who you ask. I mean, it's like sangria, the original sangria is made here, and everybody says that. Today, it's produced in the traditional method. It may have initially been a happy accident. Winemakers were bottling their juice too early, and they put the yeast in, and the yeast was still bubbling. The yeast causes the bubbles, and so it could have been an accident. You'll find a small percentage of Chardonnay with the occasional presence of Chenin Blanc. However, the majority of de Limoges comes from an indigenous grape in the region called a Mauzac, M-A-U-Z-A-C, or a Blanquette. It's called both, and hence the name, the Blanquette de Limoges. Fresh flavors of green apple, pears, floral honeyed aromas comes from this uncommon grape. It's made in dry and semi-sweet styles, which pairs well with complete meals and desserts. It's consumed by itself as an aperitif, or you can serve it with the entire meal all the way through. It'll balance out with just about everything. We usually don't have anything really heavy red meat during Thanksgiving, so it can pretty much pair with any of the birds you might put on the table, even venison. This is something that I was talking to a friend of mine who played golf today, and we were talking about venison, and this would pair well with venison, I think. So if you happen to see it, there's not a lot of it on the shelves, but you can probably find it in bigger markets. Blanquette de Limoges. It's Blanquette de Limoux. Blanquette de Limoges. Moscato d'Asti, Italians have made the Moscato d'Asti for centuries. It goes back to the 14th century. It was originally sourced from Asti in the Piedmont region. And it's a lightly fizzy wine, Frazzinet versus the more carbonated Spumante styles. It's traditionally sweet and low alcohol, around 5 to 6%. So if you're looking for keeping the alcohol down, this is good for it. And the bubbles are made from the Moscato Bianco grape, which is noted for its aroma, sweet, floral, spice profiles. And the grapes are collected and fermented at a low temperature in large pressurized tanks until a light sparkle develops. And then there's still plenty of sugar in the wine, so the bottled results are decidedly sweet. Some people enjoy the sweet sipper solo, and it's often served as a dessert wine. So there you go, a Moscato, M-O-S-C-A-T-O, D-A-S-T-I, A-S-T-I. Next one, Braccetto di Acquai, Acquai, B-R-A-C-H-E-T-T-O, D, little mark, A-C-Q-U-I. This is also Italian. It's from the Piedmont region, but the sweet sparkling red sure stands out, and it's a red wine, which makes it interesting. The wine gets its name from the grape variety, Braccetto, and the region of production, which is Acquai. The Romans used to drink this. It was made back when the Romans, and they claimed it as an aphrodisiac. The sparkling red is a good sipper if you want to skip dessert and still have a little bit of sweetness. It is full of fruity flavors, strawberry, cherry, raspberry, and floral aromas. The alcohol is still pretty low, 5.5 to 7% usually. It can be chilled, and the result ranges from light sparkly fresnet to full bubbly. The wine has its own DOCG, which is a designated region, which means that cultivation and production are regulated to ensure consistency and quality. You can have it with a meal or serve it with a chocolate cake or berry-based dessert. These are all good combinations. Next one, Prosecco, P-R-O-S-E-C-C-O. You're probably familiar with this because I just read you. It's one of the biggest selling wines in the world, or in the United States. According to the Prosecco DOC, 486 million bottles are sold annually. That's a lot. Hailing from northeastern Italy, the vineyards date back a couple of thousand years. The town and the wine are both named Prosecco, but the primary grape variety used in production is officially called Glera, or Glera, G-L-E-R-A. The huge volume of production and the varying quality. If you want to taste the good stuff, look for the DOCG labels on the bottle, because there could very easily be some around the region that does not have that on the bottle. So the DOCG is going to give you a better Prosecco. It's recognized for its light, floral, fruity, and aromatic notes. Secondary fermentation produces a fresh, crisp taste, and it produces the time in the bottle. Proseccos can range from a very dry to a demi-sec, which is a sweet style that makes for an excellent dessert wine. And if you're a fan of pink wines, Prosecco DOC Rosé was officially approved in 2020. Well, they couldn't do anything during the pandemic, so they approved this. So there, look for something with the Prosecco DOC Rosé, sparkling rosé. Next one, Franciacorta. F-R-A-N-C-I-A-C-O-R-T-A, Franciacorta. Prosecco gets all the buzz, but look for the sparkling wine from Franciacorta. It's a northern Italian region of that name, and it's not quite as popular internationally as Prosecco, but it is very good. Only about 10% is exported. Looking for a fine wine made in traditional methods, and you're familiar with grapes like Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, and Pinot Blanc, then this is a wine for you. Smaller production is limited, and it's very good wine. There's a lot to be discovered about the Franciacorta, especially considering that the original Roman vineyards date back to the first century, and wine production has been documented since the 12th century. So what a good history on that. Skip the mimosas and kick off your lunch or before your big meal with a Francicorta. Next one, Trentadoc, T-R-E-N-T-O-D-O-C. Now, this is another wine from Italy. This is from Northern Italy, from Trentino. The bubbles are a traditional method in the bottle. And it is parallel between grape growing conditions in Champagne and those in Trentino at the start of the 20th century. So fast forward on almost an entire century, and the region's received its own DOC to regulate features of production and quality. The terroir of the region boosts high-altitude vineyards where Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, Pinot Blanc, and Pinot Minoir are grown. These are all permitted in Champagne production, too. Grapes are hand-picked and undergo a notable maturation period from 15 months to 10 years. And because of its unique terroir, it's sparkling wine from the mountains. It's often referred to as sparkling wine from the mountains. You find notes of apple, flowers, apricot, tropical fruits, and just a great wine to have as a beginning, or you can buy the different styles. They have dry bruts, they have rosés, they have vintage wines, and they have reservas, which you can put away and age. Next one, Cava. We've talked about Cava. You should be familiar with that. Since receiving its official designation in 1972, Cava D.O., which is the Spanish designation, can only be made in northeastern Spain's Penedès region. And so if you really want to get into it, the town of Sant Sadurní de Anoia is where the center of it all is. It's popular around the world. Two-thirds of the approximately 240 million bottles produced annually are sold outside of Spain. It's worth noting that it is actually made in the same laborious method as Champagne, but it has the Spanish flair, which is the primary grapes used are Exuelo, Perelada, and Macabeu. We need somebody. We need a sommelier in here that's passed all these pronunciation things. Try these right. Fruity and floral flavor profile. Crisp and refreshing Cava is referred to as a variety of flavors and of price tags. There's lots of different ones out there, but try a Cava. They're just about everywhere. As is the next one, Champagne. C-H-A-M-P-A-G-N-E. Champagne. If you want to mispronounce it really bad. Champagne is one of the most prestigious sparkling wines in the world. People have referred to just about every sparkling wine as a champagne. Region began making bubblies in late 1600s, and the rules for its production are extremely restricted. That's one of the reasons why you can guarantee that you are getting the real deal from a real deal when you get champagne, because they're very, very strict on the rules. Vin Champagne only makes up around 5% of all production, but most of the volume consists of non-vintage champagne. Vintage meaning dated year. Most champagnes are blends and have different years and stuff. They will make a year dated one, but that's, like I say, it's only about 5%. Earlier champagne was mainly sweet, but now you can get it from a brut nature, which is very dry, to a sweet demi-sec, which is sweet. It's always a good choice to celebrate. There expensive too. Most champagne, true champagnes, will start costing you money. You can get some very, very expensive champagnes. But if you want to save a little bit of money and get a good sparkly wine, try Cremant. C-R-E-M-A-N-T. Cremant. Just because champagne gets all the attention doesn't mean that you can't look elsewhere. And since they can't use the same name, the rest of the country is called Cremant. While the minimum aging requirements and various regulations are sometimes more lenient than in Champagne, it's still an outstanding bubbly wine. Different types are named after each producing region. Okay, so we've got Alsace, Cremant, Bourgogne, Cremant Jura, Cremant Lure, Bordeaux, Sauvay, Die, Limoges. All of these are different regions that all make Cremant. And these can include Chenin Blanc, Riesling, Pinot Gris, Cabernet Franc, as well as lesser known varieties like Jacquard, Mozac, and Pulsard. Or Pulsard, yeah. They are going to give you some bold, fruity aromas, crisper, zestier varieties. If you're looking for an affordable option from Champagne, then Cremant is the way to go. And this is good pairing for fatty dishes, rich fatty dishes. I take a Cremant and serve it with your rich, because of the high acidity, it will help cut the fattiness of the dishes. And there's a lot of dishes out there. I can't think of any. I'm not a chef, or else I'd rattle off some, but there's a lot of them out there that would make a difference. Next one, Cap Classique. C-A-P, C-L-A-S-S-I-Q-U-E, Cap Classique. South Africa. We just made the trip there. If you haven't had it, you're missing out. The production has been for a number of years. The Method Cap Classique, our MCC, has been around for quite some time. Franz Milan, who is a winemaker and owner of Simon Sig Winery in Stellenbosch, became inspired after traveling to the Champagne region of France, and he started to experiment with methods of using local Chenin Blanc grapes. And he's creating his own style after the vineyard, or Cape. I said Cap, Cape. Cape Vineyards, and he dropped the minute Cap. The sparkling wine is now made with an assortment of grapes, not just the Chenin Blanc. Including Pinot Noir, Chardonnay, and Pinot Noir. These are the ones that France uses also. It's pretty much out there. If you're not looking, you can find it. And it's not a household name worldwide, but 10 million bottles are made each year. So you can probably find them if you are actually looking for South African wine. Cap Classique. Next one, now, Petalant Natural. Petalant, P-E with a little mark of the T-I-L-L-A-N-T. And Natural, N-A-T-U-R-E-L. Also known as Pet Nat. Well, that's pretty easy. Simple method is made following the ancestral method of fermentation. And these, according to Vinpear, popularized in France. But since then, they've rapidly spread around the globe as winemakers all over seek to make their own renditions. So, in the U.S., Pet Nats, you can get it, are being produced in California, Oregon, Vermont, Washington, and New York. But it's not limited to these states. Pet Nat Week is also celebrated, and these wines are ready to drink and sell soon after harvest, so making them widely available and widely popular because they're there and they're young and they're fresh, and they are fun wines. They say unpretentious. This is a nice, fun, bubbly. They're made with a vast array of grapes and a variety of hues. So you can get some that are white and a little bit darker and pink and red and everything. So this is, it's worth seeking out. Funky Fruity Wines, Pat Nett. Never heard of it myself. Boy, I'm really not looking in the champagne aisles enough. Natural Lambrusco. We're familiar with that. It's a red sparkling wine, and it's from the northern Italian region of Emilia Romagna. I guess that's out of France. I apologize for destroying names all the time. You can pair it with cheese, stuffed pasta. It says, unfortunately, the 70s and 80s were a time of mass-produced syrupy Lambruscos, eventually ruining the wine's reputation for decades. Yeah, and that's probably why I don't drink Lambrusco, because in the 70s, that's early 70s when I started really getting into wine, and Lambrusco was sort of like, ew, for most people who were drinking wines back then, who were serious about drinking wines, because of the flavors and taste. So I pretty much got away from it, and I never got back. But it says here, a new wave of winemakers are eager to give it another chance, skipping the sugar-laden styles in favor of dry and balanced renditions. So you can get the Lambrusco that is not sweet and syrupy like they used to be. Three primary grape varieties are used to make the sparkling wine. It's Lambrusco di Sorbara, El Salamino, which is probably Lambrusco, Lambrusco Salamino, and Lambrusco di Graspi Rossi. They're used either individually or as blends. And it says there are dozens of styles of Lambrusco, generally fruity, floral, or rustic and bold. The sweet versions aren't as common anymore. You'll find more of a robust, drier tasting Lambruscas if you're out there. If you remember the old sweet styles, it's not so much. Lambrusco. Next one, Sec, S-E-K-T. This is a German wine, and it's more than just a Riesling. It's made with a Riesling. It's a sparkling Riesling. It's a great job of perfecting the richly aromatic grape. I like the Riesling grape. The Riesling grape is really versatile. It's country's answer to the bubbles, and it's so popular locally that most people outside of the region can't get their hands on bottles. I've had a Sec. You can find them every once in a while. German Sec gets most of the attention. Australian Sec is also an option. Other grapes that are allowed in production include Pinot Noir, Gris, and Blanc. To clarify that. Chardonnay and various indigenous grapes. So, you know, it probably maybe should list what grapes are in there, but I guess they really don't have to. There's no rule that says they do. There is a variety of levels of quality, sweetness, and origin. A bottle labeled only Sect, S-E-K-T, could pretty much come from anywhere, whereas German Sect guarantees the source. The top level is Winzersect, W-I-N-Z-E-R-S-E-K-T, and that is man's traditional method. Champagne was a large source of inspiration for the Sect. Affordable bottles and ready to drink. So try it. It's probably a good alternative, good money alternative to some of the others. American sparkling wine. Oh boy, there are lots of those. We can call them champagne. Well, no, we can't. If they were grandfathered in, if you buy a New York champagne from Taylor, then they will call it champagne because they were grandfathered in. I can tell you the story of name protection and all that stuff. I just don't want to get into it now. Because I don't feel like it. Maybe I'll tell you in a future date. I think I've talked about it before, but I can't recall. But I'll tell you about why. Yeah, I have talked about it, but still. Champagne is appreciated by U.S. consumers a lot. Around half of the volume of bubbly wine enjoyed in the country is locally made. The first bottle was accidentally produced, and guess where? Wrong. Ohio, they're saying here, by Nicholas Longworth, who was responsible for creating a literal boom in U.S. wine production of the champagne or sparkling wine. Production zones have expanded to various states, including Oregon, Virginia, California, Washington, New York. You can probably go on and name every state in the union now. Due to the leniency with regard to law, some U.S. sparkling wines were permitted to carry the label champagne. Dismay of the French, as you can imagine. Nonetheless, a number of French champagne houses have also gotten on board with local production, opening their own wineries in the United States. And they do. You can probably check, you know, if you want to get into that a little bit more and find out if your American champagne is made by a French champagne house. So that's an interesting thing there. English sparkling wine, as in England. It's also, it gets so much overlooked. In fact, we were going to interview some English champagne houses. What was it? 2 or 3 years ago, I think right around the pandemic time. And we got one on the phone and we were going to do it. And my computer was acting up and I couldn't connect. That was back when Blog Talk Radio was giving us fits almost every week. And we were going to talk to him on a Saturday morning because of the time difference and rebroadcast it during the regular show. And I couldn't get a hold of him. We tried, and I think we were having connection problems too, weren't we? Yeah, we were having connection problems and we couldn't hear him on some stuff. But we tried to follow up and get some more. We were going to interview like four different champagne houses, and it never came about. That's sad. I need to look that and see if we can't follow up on that, because that would be good to find out what's happening in England. The cooler conditions are great for producing bubbly there, and in certain areas it's really almost exactly the same as the Champagne region. They use Pinot Noir, and Chardonnay, and use it in the traditional method, which is the grapes that are being used in France and the method they use there. The history is still young, but there are some great champagnes that have expanded, or sparkling wines, out of England. And the rosés, the Blanc de Blancs, which is made with all white grapes, the Blanc de Noir, all red grapes and brut styles, and they compare with pair it with sushi, fish and chips, any number of lighter meals, your appetizers, after you finish your meal, if you're going to watch football after your meals. Have yourself some of this, some English sparkling wine or any sparkling wine. Sparkling Shiraz. I gave it away, didn't I? Because I said Shiraz with the Z at the end. It's from Australia. If you've tried any type of sparkling wine from Australia, it's probably sparkling Shiraz. It's popular red wine. It's a style of the French winemakers in Australia with the focus on the traditional method of fermentation. And they recommend that you chill these bubbles to balance out the high alcohol content and also enhance the flavors. You'll get dark fruit like berries and plums and spiced aromas. And sparkling Shiraz makes a great pairing for meat dishes. So there's one that will hold up against any meat you might have to have, venison or something like that. You can incorporate it into your favorite sangria recipe and add a little bubble to your sangria. It's good for breakfast. And it's being used a lot by the locals in Australia for breakfast. And it is also a classic for Christmas meals. So you got to remember, though, that Australia is in the middle of the summer down there now. December is their summertime. They go to the beach on Christmas Day. Although, the way the temperature is going here in Florida now, we might be able to go to the beach on Christmas Day, too. So, there you go. Australian Sparkling Shiraz. And then the next one is Gruet, G-R-U-E-T. This is from an area which you might not think too much of sparkling wine, New Mexico. Turns out the Gruet Winery discovered a little secret, and it was a prime land for growing the grapes, and so they started to make champagne. After decades of fooling around, the Gruets decided to expand their legacy and open a winery in what happens to be the state with the longest winemaking tradition in the country, Forbes reports. I don't know about New Mexico, but maybe. The Gruets' children took over making the method. While the winery was still young, they got regular praise from the champagne producers. Acclaimed highlights from the fact that the New Mexico's high altitude terrain, scorchingly dry days and cool nights make it a prime spot for this style of wine. Who would have guessed? Sold at a fraction of the price of the more famous French bubbles, it is certainly worth it to get your hands on a few bottles. Gruet, G-R-U-E-T, name of the winery and of the champagne. I had a bottle of that, I have to say. When I had the winery, I used to ask people to bring me a wine from a different state. I wanted to get all 50 states, and yes, you can get them from all 50. And over a period of about 2 years, I finally got every state, and the one I got from New Mexico was the champagne, the Gruet champagne, which I was quite impressed with it. I used to share the wines with my class. I used to teach a class once, sometimes twice a month, and I used to share the wine with them. Next one is Vino Espumante. This is out of Portugal, and it is a sparkling wine that is not mainstream. It is produced across the country, and especially in the province of Beirada. You'll find all styles. It's in production has improved and expanded since the start of the 21st century. The region is noted for its refreshingly light wines, and the production of the sparkling wine is that style also. Variety of wines that can carry you from cocktail hour through a seafood fest and up to dessert. So there you go. Vino Espumante, V-I-N-H-O, then E-S-P-U-M-A-N-T-E. And next one we have for you is Pezgo. I think that's how it's pronounced. P-E-Z-S-G-O with two little like quotation marks above the O. P-E-Z-S-G-O. This is from Hungary. Literally, Pezgo literally translates to fizzy wine. Prior to World War I, the country was the number two producer of sparkling wines after France, producing over 6 million bottles a year. The wine produced using the traditional method dates back to the 19th century, when it was popular among the middle and upper class. And the quality quickly declined with the rise of communism. Wines of Hungary explains that varying terms distinguish the different degrees of bubbles and fermentations, and Pezgo is at the upper level of the quality spectrum. So there you go. If you see Hungarian wine, if it says Pezgo, that is the for the line. And the using native variety grapes. Pinot Noir and Chardonnay are available, but they also use in Olasker Riesling, Olasrizling, and Harslevelu, Harslevelu. A little mark over the A and a double mark over the last U. Okay. This is a crisp, fruity, and floral wine. Pairs well with seafood, canapé, and or sipped by itself. And the next one, which is the last one, is a rosé sparkling. We talked a little bit about that earlier already. But rosé sparkling are pink bubbles. There's lots of them out there. You can look around and find lots of them. The most expensive champagne. Oh, geez. I'm not remembering stuff. Amouette Chandon and what is the other one? They both put out a pink champagne periodically, not every year, though. They don't do it all the time. And it costs a little bit more than their regular white ones when they do come out with it. They remove the skin off the red grapes to keep the lighter color. But some of them take a different approach. They blend red and white and get it blended together, and then they produce a sparkling white. Then the red wine is mixed to produce the final results. It's up to 15% of the red wine is added to it. So that's one style. Other styles are made with red grapes and typically minimize the skin contact to make a pale pink color. And Prosecco rosé, it requires a minimum of 85% Glera, which is the classic grape for Prosecco, blended with 10 to 15% Pinot Noir. So, different rules, different ways, but eventually you come out with a sparkling wine that is a rosé that is very, very good. I've had numerous rosé sparkling wines, and I've never been disappointed. They've always been an excellent choice and all that, and they can be an excellent choice for your Christmas or New Year Eve celebration. I keep saying Christmas, but the New Year's Eve coming up is, you know, people always like to have sparkling wines of some sort. So try some of these others. There's a bunch of them on there again. So to sum up, Pezgo, Hungarian, Vino Espumante, which is Portuguese, Gruet, New Mexico, domestic, Sparkling Syrahs, Australian. You've got English sparkling wine, which is England. American sparkling wine, a variety of those. Sekt, S-E-K-T, which is German. You can find those. I see those a lot, too. Lambrusco, which is drier now. Try that with a hamburger or something. Pelletant Naturel, or Pet Nat, and they're made everywhere. I never realized. You can look for something like that. Cap Classique, which is out of South Africa. Crement, which is a champagne, only not called a champagne. It's all around the Champagne district. And then the classic champagne, if you really want to celebrate Christmas or the New Year's, that's a great way to do it. Cava, Spanish. Then Trentendoc, which is northern Italy. You got Franciacorta, which is also from northern Italy. This is the creme de la creme of that area, they're saying. Prosecco, which is bubbly out of Italy. Look for the Prosecco DOC on the label, on the bottle, which is going to be quality, showing you quality. Rocchetta di Acquai, which is from the Rocchetta region, Piedmont, Italy, and Moscato di Asti, which is, again, Asti in the Piedmont region. We also have Blanquette de Lamoille, which is a French sparkling wine. And that's it. So, covered them again, went through them. Enjoy them this holiday, this next couple of weeks during Christmas and all of your other holiday celebrations. New Year's also, you're always looking for one there. And might just as well have a wine that you really enjoy instead of just something that you want to pop the cap on it just to say you had a champagne. Get one that's going to be good. Let me give you a couple quick hints. The colder the bottle is, the less the cap is going to shoot off. The warmer the bottle is, the more it's going to shoot off. And believe me, some of those bottles, when it's warm, you shoot that cap off, it could bubble out and 3/4, 7/8 of your bottle is discharged because of handling everything. So chill them. Chill your bottles before you serve them. And then when you take the cap off, throw a towel over the top of it, work it off with your fingers and have it pop into the towel. Or if you find someone across the room you don't particularly care for, then aim it at them. But take it off like that and enjoy your champagnes this next couple of weeks. And we're done.
Oh. All right. Yeah. I had the wrong kind of cork there. I thought it was more champagne sounding, but I guess it's more wine
more
sounding.
Wine bottle cork, sounding. Yeah.
Yeah, wine bottle. Yeah. Well, it is 8 to 8:12.
Wow.
Looks like
on
wow. For those of you watching on Facebook or X, it's 8:08. So it'll catch up.
Yeah.
We will go ahead and end the show for this week on December 21st, and we'll pick it back up again next Thursday, the 28th. I believe we have a show then, and join us for the new year after that. So tune in next week for the next one, and have a good week and a good weekend ahead. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas if you celebrate it. And be safe and drive carefully. There's a lot of people on the road. And if you're traveling, going through airports, I'm sorry. It's not my fault or anything. You know, it's the season. So don't throw anything out as far as that. Yeah, it's hectic. So thanks again. Have a great day. And we'll talk to you after Christmas on next week.
Y'all be safe and enjoy some good wines, and we'll see you next week.
Absolutely. Thank you. That's it.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron. For show information, links to All About Wine on Twitter and Facebook, or to be a guest on this show, visit the show website at www.allaboutwinebtr.com. Archived shows are available for download on iTunes or on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Thank you for listening. Drink responsibly, and we'll see you next time on All About Wine.
All About Wine. All right.
That's,